thank my family for coming out tonight. Their support means the world to me, and I love them. I also love this church more than words can describe. I love coming here. Every time I come, even from last time, it just feels like family here. I go walk in, it's just instantly accepted. I love Brother Brian, Brother Hurst, more than words can explain. I mean, just I respect them with utmost, the highest honor. And standing up here really does just bring a sense of, like, I just don't belong here, kind of, but we're just going to see what happens. But when Brother Brian asked me to pray, I've had a scripture on my mind, and on Luke chapter 8, 43 through 48, it says, "And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all of her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, Who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And Jesus said, Somebody hath touched me, for I perceived that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Amen. With the Lord's help tonight, I'm going to preach on take a stand. In verse 43, it just explains that after having an issue of blood for 12 whole years, she had spent all of her living upon physicians and was healed, and neither could heal anything. So tonight, I'm just asking, what is your physician, so to speak? What have you tried to satisfy your heart with that is not of God? I mean, dealing with young people tonight, I wanted to also do everything where everyone could connect with it. But mostly with young people, I know we have a burden to feel special. We have a burden to feel wanted, and we have a burden to have a desire for anything. And everything that we could ever want right now is God. Other things can satisfy, but it's not going to last at all. So when I come to you and say, what is your physician? It could be drugs. It could be pornography. It could be anything, because it's not of God. It could be, God forbid, a wrong relationship. I know I'm younger, and you guys don't want to hear that from a younger guy, but it could happen. Honestly, people get such a hold on your life, you don't even realize it. But we also know the great physician. Anything that we can try to replace God with will fall short. It will fall so far short that we're going to fall into our little depression saying, oh, woe is me, when you've been neglecting God for the longest time. And when you actually want something from him, we treat him as a spare tire. But it goes on to say, when she came behind him and touched the border of his garment. Now, I know I've been to the point, and multiple people have been to the point, where you feel so far gone in the sin that has wrapped itself around you, you feel like God is not going to get to you. But right now, I promise, if you're in a dark place and you're saying God would never be in this dark place, the second you turn around, God's been reaching for you this entire time. And there's no matter how far deep you go, God's been there. God has been there the entire time. So don't wait for God to touch your life. Reach for him. Don't sit there and say, well, here's another service as God walks by, and you know on the inside something has a hold on you that you can't get by yourself. Say, God, I'm not going to wait for you to come to me to the altar. I'm going to come to you right now. I know there was a testimony, I can't remember who said it, but they said there was just a tug on her heart saying, go. But there were so many people watching me, God. There's so many people right here that'll know that something was wrong with me. Everybody's got troubles. There's always something wrong with someone. And just to say that, oh, I'm perfect, and to come to church and pray and then go home, no. It's more than that. It's not just a weekly lifestyle. You have to have something with God. So when you feel God, hold on to what he leaves you with. Don't sit there and get a hold of God, come go to, let's say, youth camp. Southern Ohio. I've been there, the hype of the excitement and get something from God, and then 2 weeks after you go home, it's died out, and you blame God for everything, when in all reality, you've been making false promises to God. So whatever God lays on your heart, make it personal. Make it very personal if you want it to last. When you go to God and you say, God, I'll start a Bible study at my school. I'll do everything, God. I'll witness to all my friends. I'll change my lifestyle. I'll delete this girl's number. I'll delete all these pictures, God, I promise. And when you get home, you're like, oof, I'm not in that atmosphere. Things have changed. I'm not where everybody's praising God. Feels like I'm the only one now. So sometimes I know we are the outcast. We, the Christian world, sometimes feel like we are the complete and total outcast from the world. But in all reality, it's time for the outcast to cast out. When we as a church decide that we're not going to be the ones that are, when the world's looking at us and saying, oh, what you're doing is wrong. When they'll sit there and display absolute filth to the entire world and say, this is right. See, there's something wrong with that. You know on the inside something's wrong with that. You can't sit there and do half what the world is doing and say, oh, this feels great. I feel perfectly fine in my soul right now. When that entire time God's saying, you're just going out farther and farther, but I'm just one touch away. See, and what I love about this story, because I've been here before, and when Jesus said, who touched me? Jesus looked at the crowd and said, who touched me? And it says, when all denied. When all denied. Even the woman standing right there who had just touched God, when Jesus looked at her and said, who touched me? She denied him. Don't deny the touch. Don't be ashamed of what God has given you. When you're sitting there and you get a touch from God and you go back to your youth group and they're not praising him like you were praising him that night, don't be denied to raise your hands. Don't be denied to pray to God. Don't be denied of what God has placed on your heart. Don't deny the burden God has for you. Don't deny anything that God has placed you in his will. So I know I've been to the point, but don't be afraid to tell where God brought you from. Don't be afraid to look at someone, like when you're down and you're witnessing to the Muslim, don't say, oh yeah, you know, my God's good. No, tell him. Say, he delivered me. I don't know what you've been through personally, but be like, any of your friends at school, he delivered me from drugs. He delivered me from pornography. See, because I have a God who is real, who can help me through these things. And like you said, what's the difference? See, when we witness to others, and we witness to the Muslims, like, I want him more than he wants his false God. When you witness to a drug addict, want him more than he wants the drugs. Want God more than he's going to want that drug to prove he's got something real. He's got something more than what my heart desires. I need what he has. See, and right here it says, when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all of the people. She didn't fall before the Lord and say, Lord, this is what I've done. This is how you've changed me. This is what you've done. To everyone standing there. The great multitude. She didn't let it keep a secret between her and God. She went to everyone and declared and said, God, you've healed me. When I was healed of Stephen Johnson's, do you think that I go to churches now and I'm like, oh, yeah, and God healed me when I'm praying to God? No, I'll stand and say, God, heal me of an incurable disease when I had probably a 90% chance of death, and I'm not living as an amputee. My lung, in these last few weeks, I went back for my checkup, my lung has grown back. My lung is back. When I went back to the x-ray room and the doctor came in, she started apologizing. And I was like, man, what's wrong? And she's like, you weren't scheduled for an x-ray. I was like, man, yes, I was. This is my routine. We have a checkup. She said, well, it says, I was looking in your paperwork, and it says you had the lower left lung removed. And I was like, well, yes, ma'am. She's like, it's back. She couldn't explain that. So she took me back there, showed me. See, I have a God that's real. I have a God more real than what they have in their life. I have a God that's worth it. I have a God that can fulfill my heart. I don't need to fill it with anything besides God, because all it's going to bring me is pain. So when you go, it says she was healed immediately. When you come to this altar and you come to God sincerely and you say, God, this is what's wrong with me, this is what's on the inside, and you give it all to him immediately. Yes. It's not going to take him 20 years. It'll take him 2 seconds to heal you of whatever's wrong with you. And whether it's a physical healing, it could be emotional healing, it could be anything. That's how great our God is. And don't take 20 years to realize how great he really is. Because he can do anything that your heart desires. So it says, later on in verse 48, it says, thy faith had made thee whole, go in peace. See, and what I loved about this when I was reading it, and I didn't really realize it the third time around, somewhere between verses 47 and 48, she had to stand back up and face the Father. She didn't fall down and stay there to the God's feet. She had to rise up, and that's what I'm asking you to do, take a stand. Take a stand in front of the whole multitude and declare unto them what God has done in your life. See, it's not just enough to go and let people know. I got my nice tie on, my new tie, my new shirt I got in Florida, my nice new pants. I'm a Christian. You can obviously tell that. I go to church. I've preached a few times. Yeah. It's not me. None of this is me. Nothing about anything coming out of my mouth and the desire I have to change but one life in this building, that is not me. That is all God. And the second that I believe that that is me is the second that I have messed up with God. Because I am not doing this for a show. I am not doing this for anyone but God. And to further my relationship with him is the only reason I plan to live for him. Because if he can go in his blood, he can sacrifice his son for me. The least I can do is give him my life that I don't deserve. The life that I should have died 2 years ago, I can give him everything back. Because if he can come and heal my body, why can't we heal others? Why can't I go out onto the street and pray for the drug addict and pray for the crippled and them stand and them be healed and delivered? See, we've got this thing of God is only in a church building. And he's really opened my eyes these past few weeks. This is for real. This is life. This isn't just about my small problems that I blow up to seem like the entire world. When God's saying, what is your physician? What are you putting before me right now? And the sad thing is, we don't even realize we're putting it before God. Because the second it gets in front of your prayer life, and the second it comes between you and God, that's where you messed up. And that's to the point where you got to reach for God. Yes, see, don't wait until you're so far in sin you can't believe you can't be saved. The second you feel sin tugging at you, reach out for God. Grab a hold of him. Let people know that you're saved. Don't go every other week to your friends and say, oh yeah, man, we had a great service, we had everything going good, and then live the exact same life you did last week. Because if you can go to a service and leave exactly the same, something's wrong. We should never go to a church service and not leave closer to God. Yes, and that's really what God's just been dealing with me lately. Stop going to church. Stop praying for revival. Be the revival. Yes, stop just saying, God, don't get me wrong, revival's awesome. Revival's great. It's awesome to just have God in our hearts. But the second we get to the point, and I know that I've been to this point where I'm saying, well, we can't have revival. So-and-so did this and this. If we would stop worrying about what everybody else is doing and how everybody messed up and just praise God, that would all end. If we can just come to unity and praise God, it would just all be over. So there's nothing too big that God cannot handle. If he can heal a dying 13-year-old boy of Steven Johnson syndrome, he can deliver you from your depression. He can deliver you from your drugs, and he can deliver you from your pornography. See, because the devil, when I went to SCYC this past weekend, or the past week, with Brother Greg Adkins, I love how he said this. He said, the devil has devices, and God has weapons. Devices can't harm you. The devil coming at you, I love how he worded this, is like him coming at you with a Red Ryder BB gun and us having an atomic nuke waiting on the other end for him. Because devices cannot harm you. We have the weapons, so stop letting him get in your head with it. Stop letting him prove that he's so big and mighty when one utterance of God's name can drive him away. Stop conforming to the devil just because he speaks to you. It's not worth it. It's not worth having to pray to God every other week and saying, God, I fell back into sin. Look at the devil and say, he's brought me from it again. And this is the last time it's going to happen. I don't need next week, because next week I'm going to be closer to you than I ever have before. So in this message that I've been learning and just seeking God for, I just really felt burdened, honestly, to just say, if you're one of the main youth group members and you've been doing great, that's awesome. I love that. But don't be content. Don't be content with where God has you. Don't be content with your relationship with God, because the second you grow content with where you are, you won't strive to go to greater things, and you'll never realize the full potential that God has for you. You'll settle for less, and then you'll cry to God and ask why, what is wrong, when you've stopped growing for God. See, never stop expanding in God's love, because that's going to take us everywhere. That'll get us everywhere. And everyone can get something out of this, because nobody's perfect. Nobody has gone just, God, I have not messed up once. And if you have, that's awesome, because I'm really trying to take after you right now. Because me, I know every week I'll go to God and be like, I know before you even touch my heart and ask me to pray about it, I know I did it. I know I said it. I know I said it bad. I'm sorry. And I'll immediately go to God and say, please, just forgive me for that. And God's not going to be, and don't get the mentality that God's going to stop just forgiving you. Because every time you go to him, he's going to wipe it clean. Because I've been to the point where I've needed God every week. Just, I'm so sorry for this. It'll never happen again. And the next week I'll do it again and feel so ashamed before. I'll kneel down. I just feel ashamed. Just God, I don't even deserve this. I have just gone to you and made false promises. And one thing that has honestly stuck with me for almost an entire year now is Brother Greg at SOIC saying, God's not mad at you. God is never mad at you. And that service has impacted my life more than you could know, because that was a service that completely transformed my life. So in closing tonight, I know it wasn't a super long message or a screaming message or anything, but I'm just trying to get to one person tonight. And I don't know if it's just this is one of the young kids that has no right. He's my age and he's out there preaching to me. That's not the case. I'm not trying to come and run your life. I'm not trying to come and tell you what to do. I'm just saying God placed this on my heart, and if I can help one person, I'm happy. I have fulfilled what God has wanted me to do if I touch but one soul in this building. So if we could, just every head bowed, every eye closed real fast. And I have been to the point in the youth service where God has been there and done that, but who is honestly willing to say, I've got some things in my life right now, this one thing that has been bothering me for the past month, the past week, the past year, that I just can't shake? Is there, just search your soul and be honest with yourself and God and say, that one thing that you're thinking of right now, that's what you need delivered of. The one thing that immediately you knew was wrong, that's what you need to pray for. So I'm not asking for someone to come up. I'm not asking for a show of hands, because I'm not trying to call anyone out and I don't want you to feel like I am. But these altars are open, and if you need to just go and declare to God and reach for him, they're open. If there's anyone that just says, God, I'm not waiting for you to come and touch my heart. I'm seeking you right now so I don't have to next week or on Sunday or next Wednesday. Lord, I want you now. So these altars are open. If you're going to just come and find a place to pray and just seek God and take a stand. Take a stand right now against whatever's been holding you.